Okay, Ran Yud Beis Amid Aleph. Two, four, six, eight, nine lines from the top of Yud Beis Amid Aleph. By you, it's 12A1. Closer to the end. Okay, the Gemara says, Marzut Rebreder of Nachman. And here, by the way, you're going to see the way people were very, very religious, even though it came to money stuff. Marzutur Breder Rav Nachman, Marzutur the son of Rav Nachman, Banulei Apadna, he was under contract. Nanju was building a mansion, a palace for him, so to speak. Where was it? Mekabli Kibelis Chutzutchum. He built it on a contract, like we learned last time. Kablonis means you don't get paid per hour, you get paid for the job. And it was outside the tchum of the city. Now, what the Gemara just said, what we learned last week was, on Shabbos in Chol HaMoed, you can hire workers for the job. Inside the city limits, they're not allowed to do it because people don't know that they're paid for the job. They might be workers for the hour, which is forbidden. Outside the tchum, meaning where people don't even know it's the Jew's property, and therefore the guy is not working for the Jew because he's paid for the job. And therefore, whenever he works, it's for his benefit. So we learned that outside the tchum, you're allowed to hire a guy as a and per contract. So that's what happened. What happened? Ikloi Rav Safra and Rav Huna Bar Chinina. Rav Safra and Rav Huna Bar Chinina. Ikla, he came to the place. They came to the place outside the tchum. V'le'olu l'gabei, and they would not enter the house since it was built on Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to in a minute ask the question, but it's allowed. Right? But they didn't go into the house. Not only that, Ikadami, some people say, Hunami Lo Al Gavai, even Marzutra, the guy it was built for, also didn't go into the house. So the Gemara says, why? So the Gemara says, asks a question, Shmuel just got through saying, Mekabla Kabedis, if those are under contract to build a house, Beseich HaTchum, inside the Tchum, inside the boundary of the city, also you're not allowed to do it. Chutz HaTchum, outside of the boundary of the city, Mutar, you're allowed to do it. So the question is, why did these Amiroim, why did these Tzaddikim not want to go into the house that was built on Shabbos outside of the Tchum, by contract, when Shmuel clearly says, outside the Tchum, you're allowed to do it. Why didn't they do it? So the Gemara answers, Adam Choshev Shani. They were prominent people, and they held themselves in higher levels, meaning they were more stringent. You know, it's really, Daka, you're allowed to go into the house. Now, there's another question over here, by the way. The question is that, L'cha'eiro, it's if a guy does something for you on Shabbos, you're only not allowed to use it after Shabbos, the amount of time it takes to do it. For instance, if a Jew does something for me on Shabbos, and I didn't tell him to do it, he did something forbidden for me. Right after Shabbos, I'm allowed to use it. The second Shabbos is over, I can use it. On Shabbos not, right after Shabbos I could use it. Now, what happens if a guy did it for me on Shabbos? The din is not only can you not benefit from it on Shabbos, you have to wait after Shabbos the amount of time it took to do the malacha.
You mean the Jew?
No, the guy. The Jew cannot use it for the classic example on Shabbos is a guy cooks for you on Shabbos. So let's forget Bishalakim. The Jew had the fire on, right? If a guy cooks for me on Shabbos, and let's say it took him an hour to cook it, okay, and Shabbos is over 8 o'clock, I am not allowed to use that food that he cooked until 9 o'clock.
If you told him to.
If he did it for me, in a way that it's forbidden.
But if you told him to do it?
If I knew he was doing it and I didn't stop him. Now, what happens if a Jew cooked for me on Shabbos? Right, the second Shabbos is over 8 o'clock, I could benefit from it. The question is, why is a guy stricter than a Jew? If a Jew cooks for you on Shabbos, you can eat it right after Shabbos. And if a guy cooks for you on Shabbos, you have to wait the amount of time after Shabbos it takes to do. So that in Shulchan Aruch, the Alter Rebbe explains, it's based on the Gemara, that that people are very lenient when it comes to telling goyim to do malacha. No Jew is going to tell another Jew to do malacha, but a Jew will tell a goy to do a malacha. So the rabbis were stricter. The rabbis were stricter when it came to a goy, that we don't want you to benefit from it even after Shabbos, the amount of time it takes to do it. So the question over here, basically, answer is asked by the Mefarshim. Why can't they go into the house? The Gemara implies they never ever walked into that palace. The question is, but after a while you're allowed to walk into it. So they answer, because the house was in public. Granted, it's outside the boundaries, but the fact that it was done in public, the rabbis were even stricter that they would never walk into it. Even though halachically they might be able to. So the Gemara says, the Ikad Amri, another reason why the rabbis refused to go into this house, even though we learned outside the Tchum, if you do it b'kablonis, contract, you're allowed to do it. He said, Ikad Amri, Seyuya Saya B'tivna Ba'adayu. Marzutra assisted the workers by giving them the straw for the bricks. Meaning as follows. Marzutra gave the workers the materials. As far as he knew, some of Farshim even learned that he told them not to do it on Shabbos. He told them not to build on Shabbos. And they went against his will, because he wasn't around, outside the Tchum, and he built, the guy built it on Shabbos.
So she didn't have to pay him, right? She didn't have to pay him.
Yeah, in civil law, you're not going to get too far with that.
But in the old days?
In the old days, you would have to pay him anyway. Even though he did a sin. I'll give you an example. I'm not allowed to do business with you on Shabbos, right? If I say I have a shmata business, and on Shabbos I sell you shmatas. After Shabbos you say you don't like the deal, you say, no, what do you mean? You did the deal on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do deals on Shabbos, the deal is null and void. The Gemara says, the halacha is, the deal stays a deal. The deal stays a deal. The guy was not allowed to sell it on Shabbos, but the deal is still a deal. He did a sin, but the deal is a deal. If you told the guy not to work on Shabbos and he worked, you'd have to pay him anyway. But the Gemara is explaining, the Gemara asks the question basically, why did these rabbis refuse to go into the house, which was built on Shabbos outside the Tchum, in a way of kablonis, in a way of contract, when Shmuel clearly says you're allowed to? So the answer, because they were prominent people, so they were stricter. Another answer is, Marzutra even felt guiltier, because he supplied the materials. So because he participated in the building, even though he told them don't build on Shabbos, and they built on Shabbos against his will, he felt guilty that he was part of it, and therefore he refused to walk into the house that they built for himself.
He felt guilty? That was the reason?
Yeah. Not guilty, I mean, he felt that because he, you know, was part of it, he felt that he doesn't want to be any part, have any part of it. So Marzutu was stricter. Then the Gemara says a new story. Rav Chama shorle l'avungori devereish galusa. Rav Chama, according to this argument in the Rishayin, if these are goyim or yidin, but he permitted the steward, the table stewards, to do the work of repairing tables on Chol HaMoed. Now, what does it mean? These people would repair tables. So Rav Chama permitted them to repair tables on Chol HaMoed. And he said, why? Kivan da agali shokle, they're not taking formal wages. They're not getting paid for their work. Shashuri da kamishashali. They're gaining only indirect benefit, and therefore less than, but we don't have any problems of their actions because it's not called forbidden work. Meaning like this. The Mefarshim explained, Rashi explains, the Mefarshim explained, the guys were fixing tables. The tables were needed for Chol HaMoed. Now halachically, you're allowed to fix things on Chol HaMoed, we learned before, that you need for Chol HaMoed. But you can't get paid for it. So Rav Chama said like this, these stewards, these workers, in the Reish Golusa, he was the head of the Golus, in his house, they didn't get paid money. They got paid food. They got their meals. So because it wasn't direct payment for the job they did, it was only indirect payment by paying them, giving them food to eat. Rav Chama said it's not called work on Yom Tov. Because what they actually did to repair tables itself is permitted. The only problem is you're paying them, so it's like a business and things like that. He said they didn't get directly paid. They got paid indirectly by getting meals. So therefore, that's not called paying the guy for working in Chol HaMoed. So he permitted it. As I said before, there's a machlekes here in the Rishonim, if these repairmen were Jews or Goyim. Some Rishonim learned they were even Jews and they were allowed to do it.
So according to this, all the businessmen, they should close shop after all Chol HaMoed.
Unless if there's a loss of money. Yeah, unless if there's a loss of money. Davar Avid, or like we learned, stores that sell things, grocery stores, that sell things for people to have food on Yom Tov, they're allowed to be open, Chol HaMoed.
Or it's perishable, they don't sell anything.
Or anything. If a guy has a business, like we were discussing in the past, a guy has a business that he has to pay overhead. He has to pay his workers. If they don't come in because he says don't come in, yeah, he still has to pay them. Right? So if he's not going to make money, he's going to lose money. So then you're allowed to. I'm not saying it's preferred to do it, but it's allowed to do. Because otherwise it's a loss of money. Okay, now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says like this. This is about contracting non-Jews and Chol HaMoed. Tan Rabban Rabbanan learned, Mekablam Kabbalos B'Meid, you're allowed to enter into a contract with a goy on Chol HaMoed, to do the work after Chol HaMoed. Because you're not doing any, the guy's not doing any work yet. The work is going to be done after Yom Tov, after Chol HaMoed. The only thing you're doing is entering into a contract. You're making a contract with the guy that after Yom Tov he could do it. But, b'mayid, that the guy should start working on Chol HaMoed, that's us, that's forbidden. Okay? So the Gemara says clearly, if you make a contract with the guy on Chol HaMoed to work after Chol HaMoed, that's allowed. To make a contract with a guy on Chol HaMoed that he should start working on Chol HaMoed, that's forbidden. And then the Gemara says a rule. Klali Shodavar, this is a very important rule. Kol Shuhu Eise, whatever a Jew is allowed to do himself, Eimer Lenachri Va'Eise, he could tell a guy to do it. And it's something you're not allowed to do. You can't tell a guy to do it. Which is a very interesting concept, by the way. Anything the Bryce is saying, if you're not allowed to do it, you can't tell a guy to do it. It's like on Shabbos. Something you're not allowed to do, you cannot tell a guy to do. But just like a Jew can enter into a contract on Chol HaMoed, a Jew can enter in contact with a guy on Chol HaMoed. But if you're not allowed to do it, you can't tell a guy to do it. That's why, by the way, based on this Gemara, we know a Jew can't do laundry Chol HaMoed. Unless the imamish needed for Yom Tov. But normally, Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to do laundry. So if you can't do laundry, you can't tell your housekeeper to do laundry either. Because the Gemara, Mishnah Brice is saying over here, anything you're not allowed to do, you can't tell a guy to do.
Unless they do it on their own?
No, you're not allowed to let them. They did it, they did it. No. Unless if you need the stuff for Yom Tov, you have nothing else to wear. But otherwise, and the same thing by Shabbos, by the way. If you're not allowed to do something on Shabbos, you can't tell a guy to do it on Shabbos. Why? And the Alter Rebbe gives it's a goy's maimonis, but the Alter Rebbe brings down Shulchan Aruch, and, I mean, not that it's the Alter Rebbe's chiddush, it's a goy's maimonis, but there's an interesting concept, that there's shlich, a goy normally cannot be a shlich. You know, you send an agent, yeah? The agent has a din like the sender. A guy cannot be a shliach. For instance, the classic example the Gemara gives. If I need to separate truma, mice, the tithing and all that stuff. If I send you to do it, and you tithe it for me, it's done. It becomes truma, just as if I did it. What happens though, if I tell a guy to separate truma for me, and the guy does it, nothing. It's nothing. If I send a Jew, no, that's good. Thank you. Stick around.
When you give somebody, huh?
Yeah, it's pouring in.
Payday.
If I tell a Jew to go do kiddushin to a woman for me, let's say Reuven wants to marry Rivka, but Reuven can't go to Rivka to give her a ring to say Adat Mukadeshously. So Reuven calls in Shimon and says, Shimon, do me a favor. Take this ring, go to Rivka, give it to her, and say Adat Mukadeshus to Reuven. The din is it's a good Kedushin. Like Avram sent Eliezer to do Kedushin with Rivka. What's your problem?
I think we need to be here.
It's the reincarnation of a certain person that didn't learn Hasidus, and he came back into a Hasidic shul to get a little spirituality. Okay. We have to publicize. Now, there's a din though. If I send a goy to do this kedushin, it's completely not valid. A goy can't be my shliach. Where do we learn it out from? In fact, by truma. We learned it out from Truma. The Torah says, Kein Tarimu Gam Atem Truma Seshem. So you should separate the Truma for God. But the Torah writes the word Gam Atem. An extra word, also you. So the Gemara says, Gam, even to include a Shliach. So then the Gemara says, though, that how do I know a Shliach has to be a Jew? Because it says, Ktarimu Gam Atem. Gam has to be like Atem. Just like you're Jewish, your shliach has to be Jewish. So the Gemara learns out, this is, by the way, throughout Torah, you can make a shliach to do things for you, but if he's a guy, he's not a shliach.
Even a
Ger Tzedek? No, Ger Tzedek is a Jew.
Oh, okay. What about in case of Eliezer?
Yeah, but it was before Matan Torah, so then it didn't matter Jew or Goyim. Now, there's a din, though, in Hilchos Shabbos, the Alter Rebbe explains from the Goy Maimoni, why can't they tell a guy to do something for me on Shabbos? No, no, he asked about Eliezer. Eliezer is a guy, how could he do it? It was before Matan Torah, so there was no din of a Jew guy then. Because even the Jews really didn't have a din of a Jew. So, it was old. But the question is, what is the reason why I can't tell a guy to do something for me on Shabbos? I'm not doing it. A goy is not my shliach. So why can't they tell a goy to do something? The chachamim forbid it. But the question, why did the chachamim forbid a Jew to tell a goy to do malach on Shabbos? So Agoris Maimini, who's a commentator in the Rambam, writes, the reason for that is because yesh shlichus lenachri luchumra. Normally there's no din of a shliach by a goy. But if you want luchumra in strictness, even a goy could be your shliach. So according to a goy's mamonis, and the Alter Rebbe paskens like that, that when you tell a goy to do something for you on Shabbos, he actually becomes your shliach. And therefore, if you can't do it, your shliach can't do it. And the same thing the Gemara says by Chol HaMoed. By Chol HaMoed, the Gemara says, if you can't do it, you can't tell a goy to do it. And therefore, the Gemara says, you can go into a contract with a goy to start working after Yom Tov, but you can't make a contract with a goy to start working on Chol HaMoed. Making a contract is no business. It's not.
But aren't you, when you say that, aren't you just restating the same thing? Aren't you just saying again, if you can't do it, he can't do it?
Why not?
But what?
Why not?
Why not? Why not what?
If I can't do it, why can't he do it?
That's my question.
Because he's your...
So you say...
He's my shliach.
Okay, and so?
Then it's like I'm doing it.
Why is it like you're doing it?
Because that's the definition of a shliach. What's the definition of a shliach? When you do something, if you're my shliach, right? When you do something, it's like I did it. That's the definition of a shliach. Now, by a guy, there's no such concept.
Okay, but if I send somebody to do something that I can't do,
Then you're not allowed to do, then he doesn't have a din of your shliach. But luchumra, there is. The only time there's no shliach, by the way, is l'dvar aveira. For instance, if I come over to somebody and say, I'm making you my agent to kill somebody. And the guy goes ahead and kills him. He's not my shliach. If I make a shliach to do something which is an aveda, it's not a shliach.
How about having somebody fast?
No, I'll tell you, that's not... Let me ask you a different question. The Rishenim Taka asked this question in Kedushin. The Rishenim asked a very interesting question. Tesis Rid is one of the Rishenim. Tesis Rid in Kedushin asked a very interesting question. If a shliach has a din like I'm doing it, right? If I send you to do something, it's like I did it. So why can't I make you a shliach to put on tefillin for me? I should be able... Oh, that's what the Rishonim answer. But no, but the question, you're right, it's a very good answer. The question is, why... I don't want to put on tefillin, and I'm too lazy. And you're a nice guy, you have nothing to do, let's say, and I say, you know what? Put on tefillin for me. And you put on tefillin. Why? Or another example. I have a mitzvah to eat matzah. I don't like matzah on Pesach. I say, you know what? Eat matzah for me. And l'chayre, that means I ate matzah. I put on tefillin. So why can't you make a shliach for them? So the Rishonim answered, the expression is, an a mitzvah shebegufay, an a mitzvah of your body, a mitzvah that your body has to do, you can't make a shliach. Why not? Why not? So the answer is very interesting. If I tell you to put on tefillin for me, okay, your action is like I did it. So I put on tefillin, but on whose body? If you put on tefillin for me, I put on tefillin because your action is my action. But I'm putting on tefillin on your body. And my body needs to wear tefillin. If I put tefillin on with you, I don't get a mitzvah putting on tefillin. I still have a mitzvah to put it on myself. Why? Because my body needs the tefillin. And if you put on tefillin on your body, yes, I'm putting on tefillin because your action is considered as if I did it. But it's on your body and that's no good. My body has to eat matzah. If I eat matzah in your body, that's not a good mitzvah. My body has to eat matzah. So if you eat matzah for me, yeah, I ate matzah in your body. That's no good. So now you ask the question, can I fast? Can you make a shliach to fast? You can't. Because it's not my body fasting, it's your body fasting.
What if I pay for it?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Things you have to do yourself, the shliach can't help. The moshe, an action where shliach is only action, no body, separating truma. The truma has to be separated. So, me, you, it's the same thing. I make you a shliach. By the way, shliach can't be a kid either. Under Baron Bat Smitsa, you can't make a shliach. They have to be an adult. There's a whole, you know. I mean, there's a lot about the. But anyway, the Gemara says basically over here, coming back to the Gemara in Meir Cotton, the Gemara is saying basically that anything that you cannot do, you cannot tell a guy to do. And Cholamei, that's the rule. So then the Gemara says, Tanya Idach, we learned in another Braisa like this. Ma Kablan ki Beilis B'meid, like we just learned, you can accept. Go, you can enter into a contract with non-Jews on Cholameid, La'asei se'la'acher ha'meid, to do it after Cholameid. But there are certain conditions attached. B'vachele yimdei, you cannot measure. V'shele yishkol, you cannot weigh. V'shele yimne, you cannot count. K'derech sho'ayse b'chol, in the manner that you do during the weekday. Meaning, if you want to enter a contract though, you can't weigh the goods, you can't measure the goods, you can't count the goods, because that's the beginning of work already. But that you can't do. The Gemara is saying you can only enter into a contract, but you cannot begin the work even by measuring the goods, counting the goods, or whatever it may be. So you can't give the guy the bricks, let's say, or if you want to enter into a contract with the guy to sew some suits for you, yeah, or some clothing for you. The Gemara says you can enter a contract Chol HaMoed to do it after Chol HaMoed, but on Chol HaMoed you can't give him the material. Because that already is the beginning of the process.
But if you lose money if you don't?
If you don't enter in contract?
No. If you don't give him the goods, the material, on Chol HaMoed.
Right. Then you could.
Then you can do it.
Yeah. By the way, though, can you give goyim, let's say, you can't do laundry, right? Can I bring suits into the cleaners in Chol HaMoed and tell them to do it after Chol HaMoed? No, based on what we just learned. Because I'm giving them the things to do the job on, so I'm weighing it, I'm counting it, I'm giving it to them. So even though I'm telling them to do it after Chol HaMoed, but the problem is you still can't do it on Chol HaMoed because you began the process of measuring or counting or whatever. Then the Gemara continues other things in Allah to do Chol HaMoed. Now you have to understand, in the olden times this was very common, nowadays it's very uncommon. Tan Rabban Rabban learned, a marbian behema b'chol HaShemoed. They used to mate animals. And the farmers used to mate animals. Yeah, but not where we live. You can't mate animals directly on Chol HaMoed. Why? Because if the animal does it after Yom Tov, what's the big deal? So you're doing a work on Chol HaMoed that could be done after Yom Tov. So therefore, it's work that you're not allowed to. Kiyetzibe is similar, there's a completely different din. A marbin bebchard, v'lei bebsula mekdoshim. You cannot mate animals that are not kosher hegdish or a bechard that had a mum. Meaning as follows. Even though they become disqualified, okay, they still remain a certain level of sanctity. To give you an example, the din of a b'chor, firstborn animal, has to be brought as a carbon. Okay, that will be written in David b'chor, kachi kalim, chetasim b'chor mokim, whatever. Now, what happens if a firstborn gets a blemish? You could redeem it, and it doesn't become, it's not holy anymore. You could redeem it for money. Or, what happens if somebody designated an animal as a carbon, and then the animal became disqualified, got a blemish? So now it's holy, but it's not a kosher animal for the Mizbeach. So what do? You redeem the animal for money. When you redeem the animal is not holy anymore. But the Bryce over here is saying it still retains a certain level of sanctity that you cannot use it to mate a female animal. That level of Kedusha it still has. So that just brought down that Achagav. But the Braise is basically saying, as far as Chol HaMoed is concerned, you can't mate animals because it's unnecessary work on Chol HaMoed because you could do it afterwards. Then the Gemara says, Tanya Idach, another Braise says like this, a marbin behema b'chol HaMoed, you cannot mate an animal during Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yehuda says, though, Chameid or Shetava, as the expression in English, the she donkey comes into heat. Then the din is Marbin Alei Zachar. You can even do it a mate it with a male animal. Bishvil Shei Tistani, she shouldn't become cooled down. Meaning as follows. Because a donkey, once it cools down, will not mate anymore. So then it's a loss of money. So if the animal goes into heat on Chol HaMoed, you can mate it only a donkey though. But all the other animals, you can't actually mate it. You could bring it into the corrals. You could bring it into the corrals and let them mate by themselves. By a donkey, though, you have to do it, otherwise it's going to be a loss of money. So basically, Gemara is saying like this. If it's time extra work, you're not allowed to do it. If you're going to lose money by the donkey and so on, then you could do it. Then there was another they used to do. Now, on Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to plant a field.
Hello? Yeah.
You're not allowed to plant a field. Because Yom Tov, you can't plant a field. Chol HaMoed, you can't plant a field. Now, part of the concepts of planting a field, which is forbidden on Yom Tov and Shabbos, is fertilizing a field. Now, how did they fertilize fields in the olden times? Remarkable what they used to do. They used to take a corner of the field that they wanted fertilized. They would make a fence around it. They would bring in a whole bunch of animals into there, and they would just let them make. Then, when they finishing this, fertilizing this part of the field, they moved to the next part of the field. They would make a pen. They would bring in a bunch of animals. After a few days or whatever amount of time it took for them to finish emptying out their systems, they fertilized the field, and then they went to the next part of the field. That's what they used to do. It was called medayin. They used to pen animals. You're not allowed to do it. Leibe Shabbos, v'leibe yamim tevim, v'leibe chol HaMoed. You can't intentionally plant to fertilize a field on chol HaMoed. Okay? You write like this. The animals would defecate, and the manure would fertilize the field. Each night, the pen would be moved to another section of the field. In this way, the entire field would be manured. So the Braisa says, you can't do it on Shabbos, you can't do it on Yom, even though you're not doing anything. You're just bringing animals in there. But the fact, it's a part of the Melacha. Okay?
Why can't you do it on Shabbos?
Huh?
What malacha is that? They're going to do...
No.
You're pushing them into it?
You cannot take fertilizer on Shabbos and fertilize a field. Because that's part of making planting. You're bettering a field, which is forbidden on Shabbos.
But what if they on their own...
One second. So he says, L'cha'ed over here, you're not doing anything. You're not doing anything. You're not taking manure and put it on... He says, it's rabbinically forbidden... Because if you're going to do it this way, you might come and do it by yourself. But the Braisa says, in Bame Aleihem, what happens if the animals came, or the non-Jew, came on their own accord to manure a Jewish field with their animals, then it says, mutter, it's allowed. In other words, because the non-Jews came on their own, you can let them. Why? Because it's not biblically forbidden to do it, because like you said, you're not doing anything. The animals are coming, doing their thing. Right? All you're doing is putting the animals there. But if a non-Jew comes on their own, you didn't tell them to do it, then you can do it. But, ein Messiah and Asim, you can't help them. If the guy comes to do it, you can't help him moving his animals around. You cannot even provide them with a guard to watch the flock. You know, these things, because they shouldn't get stolen, or wolves, or whatever. Now the Braisa continues and says, if a guy was paid, the guy was paid by the week, or paid by the month, or paid by the year, or paid for 7 year span, you can help the workers. Why? Because then, again, the guy is not doing it for himself. Because you're not paying for the job. You're paying him for the week. When he manures the field, you don't care. So if you don't care, the guy is doing it for his convenience, and he's not doing anything directly. He's not taking the manure and putting it out on the field. The manure is coming about by itself. He's not doing anything. You're not even paying him for the job because you hired him for the week. You don't care when he's going to do the job. If he does it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's all the same to you. So then you can even help him. And not only that, the Mason Lam Shemer Lanaya Sainam. You could even help give him a guard to watch the flock. Then what happens? It says Rabbi Eimer. Rabbi says as follows. B'Shabbos Tebeteva. Shabbos, you can let a guy come on his own if you don't pay him money, you just if he expects a favor in return. The Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, which is easier than Shabbos, you're allowed to repay him with food, but not with money. The Meid and Chol HaMoed, you can even pay him with money. That's what Rebbe says. So Rebbe is arguing on the first opinion. The first opinion says that you can't pay him.
Paying for what? What is he talking about?
The Braisa said, if a guy comes on his own to do it,
to what?
To manure your field, you can't help him. Okay? So now Rebbe says as follows, that if it's done on Shabbos, you can only pay him back by a favor. On Yom Tov, you can pay him by giving him food, not money. On Chol HaMoed, you can even give him money. And the Gemara says, why? Why can you pay him? Because you didn't ask him to do it. He came on his own. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef, Hilchos HaKarebi, D'Halachos HaKarebi.
Campaign on Shabbos?
No, not after Shabbos. Campaign on Shabbos. But over here, the uniqueness is what's special over here because they came on their own. If you ask them to come, it's a whole different story.
Can you give them food on Yom Tov?
Yeah, Yom Tov, you can pay him with food.
Shabbos, you cannot pay him with money.
Only with
Yom Tov, you can give him food.
Right, and Chol HaMoed, you can even pay him money.
Shabbos, you pay him by food too?
You give him back a favor.
Not the same day?
Huh?
Not on Shabbos?
No.
Like you can't feed him because he worked for you?
No. That's what the Rebbe is saying. You can only give him back a favor, you can't feed him with food. Okay, now the new Mishnah. The new Mishnah is a continuation of the first Mishnah. In the first Mishnah, if you remember, there was an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi in the previous Mishnah. If a guy started pressing his olives, remember, and then he became an oval, or became Chol HaMoed, and if you don't continue the process of squeezing olives once you started, you're going to have a loss of money. So over there, the question is, you're allowed to finish the work. The only question is directly working or indirectly working, but you're, you know, by oil, olives, the Mishnah said you can do it. So now the Mishnah is a continuation of that Mishnah. And it says, V'chein, mi shoyu yeinu b'teich haberd, if a person was wine, was already in the vat, that used to be in front of the wine press, v'eid a oval, and he became an oval, meaning he became a mourner. Or anus, so he wasn't able to do it, okay, and it became Chol HaMoed, or workers tricked him, meaning they didn't show up to work. So the din is Zeilef v'gamer v'gav kedark. He pours everything into the barrel. He seals the barrel. He could do it any way he wants. Divrei Rabbi Yosi. This is similar to what we learned by the oil. Rabbi Yosi holds once you're allowed to start, you can finish the whole job, even though the entire job might not be saving loss of money. But Rabbi Yosi says, once you have permission to continue the process, you can finish the process entirely. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Eisel le'limudim b'shush le'yachmitz, you can make a temporary covering that the wine will not sour, meaning the wine won't spoil, but you cannot make a permanent cover. The first opinion Rabbi Yosi holds, you can even make a proper seal on the barrel. Without the seal, the wine won't spoil anyway. But Rabbi Yosi says, once the Chachamim permitted you to finish the job, you can finish the job, even though the whole job is not going to be a loss of money. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. What the Chachamim permitted you to do, that the wine shouldn't spoil and have a loss of money, that you're allowed to do. But more than that, you can't do it. Basically, it was the same din, as the Mishnah said before, by the wine. What?
Or zayt, or the olives that if you just leave them crushed, they go bad.
That's the first Mishnah.
Right.
No. And now the Gemara says the same thing but wine. So the right? So Mishnah says the same argument to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. First the Mishnah says the case of olives. And then the Braisa says the same thing as by wine. The same argument. So the Gemara is going to ask, why does the Mishnah need to tell me two cases, one of wine and one of olive? It's the same concept. If it told us one of olives, I would know wine. If it told us wine, I would know olives. Why does the Mishnah have to go enumerate the whole argument between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, both by wine and by olives? So the Gemara asks, Utsricha, the Gemara like just starts off with answering the question which is assumed. What is it? Utsricha, we need both cases. Why? Because you can't learn out wine from olives, and you can't learn out olives from wine. And one is going to explain why not. The Iyashmini Kamaisa, if it would only say the case of olives, I would think, by he Ka'amar Rabbi Yesi, there Rabbi Yesi agreed, said his din only, that you can, once you start the process, you can finish the entire process. Why? Mishum de Mishcha Nefish Pseida. Because by olive, there's a tremendous loss of money. In the olden times, olive oil was more valuable than wine. Especially more valuable than wine. So therefore, if the case would only say olives, that Rabbi Yossi holds you can finish the process the normal way, I would think he only maintains that by olives, because it's a big loss of money. Avol, chamra, but wine. The leinafish pseida, where there's not such a great loss of money, I would think, I would think that he agrees to Rabbi Yehuda that you cannot make a proper seal on the barrel. Okay, so only say the case of the wine, but if it would only say the case of the wine, so over there I would think, by he coming Rabbi Yehuda. Over there Rabbi Yehuda is strict. Why? By wine? Because there's not such a big loss of money. But in the case of oil, where there is a greater loss of money, I would think you would agree with Rabbi Yossi that you're allowed to do it. We need both cases. So the Gemara says like this. There's two opinions by honey, by oil, there's two opinions by wine. By oil, Rabbi Yossi says once you started the process, you can finish the process. Rabbi Yehuda says no, only where there's a loss of money. Once there's no loss of money, you can't finish the process. And then the Gemara says the same thing by wine. So Gemara says, what's the chiddush of both cases? It's very simple. Wine is a lesser loss than oil. So I would think, you know why Rabbi Yehuda is strict by wine? Let's say, because there's not such a big loss. But maybe by oil, where there's a very big loss, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you could make a seal. So he says, no. Even by oil, he says you can't make a seal. If it would only say the case of the oil, I would think, where is Rabbi Yossi lenient that you can finish a proper seal? Only by the case of oil, where there's a big loss of money. But in the case of wine, where there's not such a loss of money, I would think Rabbi Yossi would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that you're not allowed to. So we have both cases. Tell me, regardless of the case, whether it's a big loss of money, a smaller loss of money, whether it's oil or wine, you have the same argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda holds the Chachamim permitted you to stop a loss of money, but only what's a loss of money. To make a proper seal on the barrel, you cannot do it. You can make a temporary seal that it shouldn't spoil, but not to make a permanent seal. Rabbi Yossi holds, once the Chachamim permit you to start the process, you can make a proper seal, even if it's a lesser loss of money, you can make the system, you can do it in a normal way. And therefore we need both cases. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Abba, Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Abba says as follows, Man Tana, which is the Tana who holds, Shinei B'meid B'dover Ovid, that there has to be an irregularity when doing work on Chol HaMoed to prevent a loss of money. And the Gemara says, D'loik Rabbi Yossi, it can't be like Rabbi Yossi. Meaning as follows, what's this argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi? When there's a loss of money, can you do things the normal way, or you have to do it in a not normal way? Rabbi Yehuda holds, in both cases, the wine and the oil, that you cannot make a regular seal. Why? Either it's a loss of money. He says a loss of money only permits you to do it differently than you always do it. But a loss of money is not going to permit you to do something the normal way of doing it. So Rabbi Yehuda therefore says, you cannot make a seal, a proper seal. A proper seal is the normal way of doing it. I, as a loss of money, do it in a not normal way, make a temporary seal. Rabbi Yossi holds, anytime there's a loss, you could do it the normal way. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds, you can make a normal seal on wine, you can make a normal seal on oil, if there's going to be a loss. So Rabbi Yitzchak comes along and says, Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba says, which Tana holds that even when there's a loss of money, I have to do things not normally? He says, it can't be Rabbi Yossi. Because we just learned Rabbi Yossi holds, anytime there's a loss of money, you can fix it the regular way, the normal way. So therefore, it can't be Rabbi Yossi, it has to be Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yossi, Taka said, Allah is Rabbi Yossi. The Allah is like Rabbi Yossi, and that's the rule, basically, that there's Allah is like Rabbi Yossi, that anytime there's a loss of money in Chol HaMoed, you can fix things the normal way of fixing.
Example of that is on Chol HaMoed, we write
at
an angle or something.
But that, it's not a loss of money. So therefore you make a shinui. But I'm saying, if your door fell off, your door fell off on Chol HaMoed. And if you don't fix it, you're going to have a loss of money because your house is going to be wide open. Right? You're allowed to fix the door in the normal way. You can put on the hinges properly, you can fix, membership properly. According to Rabbi Yehuda, all you'd be allowed to do is put some boards to block the door, let's say. But Rabbi Yosef says, Allah is like Rabbi Yosef, that anytime there's a loss of money involved, you can do work the normal way of doing it.
Why did it have to say that last part that Rabbi Yosef said that thing? But when we knew that it was Rabbi Yehuda who said that it can't be done in the normal way, why did it say that last part?
He says it clear. To clarify.
Finalizing the two opinions.
No, it's not. The two opinions are finalized by the last.
By Rav Yosef, it says Allah is like Rav Yosef. But he just says, no, because we know, he quoted a braisa. He said there's a braisa that says that even when there's a loss of money, you have to do a shinui. You have to do it the different way, the normal. So he says, which opinion is it? So he says, it can't be Rav Yosef. The funny thing is, why didn't he say it's Rabbi Yehuda? He should have said it's Rabbi Yehuda. But he said, no, it's not Rabbi Yosi. But anyway, but the Gemara says, the Allah anyway is like Rabbi Yosi. And Bechlal, as Mefarshim bring down, that there's a rule in Erevin, that anytime there's a machlekes between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, the Allah is like Rabbi Yosi anyway. Anytime in the Gemara, there's an argument between Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda, the Allah is like Rabbi Yosi. So in this case, it basically follows the rule that there's an argument, Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot do it the normal way, Rabbi Yosi says you could do it the normal way, it's an Allah is like Rabbi Yosi.
Is he always more lenient?
No, it's not a question of lenient, it's strict. Sometimes like this, sometimes like this. There's certain opinions, certain guidelines in Halacha, that certain people, when they argued against other people, the halacha is always like them, either because they were greater, they had a better understanding of the halacha, or whatever.
But who's that to decide? The third person?
The Gemara. No, not me and you. I mean, the Gemara decides the rules. Yeah, like the Gemara decides the rules. For instance, when there's an argument with Rav and Shmuel, which argue a lot in the Gemara, so the Gemara says, when it comes to monetary issues, the halacha is always like Shmuel. When it comes to kosher treif, that type of stuff, the halacha is always like Rav. This is like an interesting exception. If it's this type of law, because usually it doesn't work like that. The halacha is always like this guy, always like this guy. So the Rishonim explain why. Because Shmuel's expertise was monetary issues. That was his expertise. So when Rav and Shmuel argued in monetary issues, who's the expert? Shmuel. In Isser Veheter, the kosher trade, that type of stuff, Rav was the expert. So therefore, if there's an argument between the two, the halacha is like that, like Rav. Or certain people were just greater than other people. Sometimes the Gemara says, the halacha is always like the later opinion. Why? Because the later opinion knew what the earlier opinion says, and they still argued. Somebody once told me that a relative of his, but it's a reliable source, once wrote into the Rebbe a question. Because there are many, believe it or not, there are many dinim in Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch that senior Lubavitcher rabbis rule differently. So he asked the Rebbe, when senior, I'm talking about older, you know, Rabbanim, would say differently than the Alter Rebbe, who do you paskin like? Seemingly, you think, the Alter Rebbe says, this, you know. So the Rebbe answered, there's no question that these rabbis know what the Alter Rebbe wrote, and they still rule differently, so you go by what they say. For whatever reason it is. Either tradition or handed down, you know.
But they're not that level.
Right, they're not nowhere near the level of the Alter Rebbe. But obviously they know that, and they still know that the custom...
But these people are almost the same level.
It depends. No, there are earlier generations, later generations. The people from the Gemara cannot argue on the Mishnah.
Right.
Right? Therefore, if you want to refute an Amora from the Gemara, you refute him by quoting a Mishnah. Because if he's refuted from the Mishnah, he's refuted.
So I don't understand, so what can't the later people...
Sometimes there are different guidelines in Halacha. Sometimes the Halacha is like the later person, sometimes not.
But I thought if there is an argument in the Gemara from, I don't know what, the Amoraim were the... Later people,
the Tanoim was the Mishnah era,
yeah.
The Amoraim was the Gemara era.
So they cannot have the same argument, because if they do, the Tanoim had an argument, the Amoraim could not have the same argument, correct?
They could, but the argument is, who is the Halacha like?
They could have the same argument? I thought in Berachot...
One minute. If that's a... Give you an example of two Tanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir.
Okay.
They're from the Mishnah.
Right.
If they argued... Okay? Kosher treif. Two later, Amidorim and the Gemara can have the same argument.
Can or cannot?
Can. Why? What's their argument? Is a halacha like Rabbi Yehuda? Is a halacha like Rabbi Meir? You have this many times, a Mishnah will have two opinions, right? And then the Gemara will also say two opinions. One opinion says the halacha is like A, and the other one says the halacha is like B.
But they cannot have the same argument.
What you're referring to is what the Gemara asks, why are these two people arguing if it's already a previous argument
exactly.
of a Mishnah? But so many times the Gemara answers, they're not arguing in the same argument. They're arguing, yeah, in the same argument, but the argument is one person says Halacha is like that one, and the other one says Halacha is like that one. But they're not just having the same argument again. Instead, they're arguing who's Halacha like. That's the difference. Okay, let's just learn the next piece of Gemara. It's very simple, very interesting. Right, we learned about sealing oil and sealing wine, right? Now the Gemara is going to ask, what can you seal a beer barrel and chol hamoed? By me name Rav Nachman Yitzchok, a shower is from Rav Nachman Yitzchok, ma'al l'misha chavisa d'shichr b'chol hamoed. Is can you seal a barrel of beer and chol hamoed tightly that it shouldn't, you know, the taste shouldn't get dissolved? Amelo, so he said, Sinai Amar, Sinai was referred to Rav Yosef, it's called Sinai, because he knew a lot of an abundance of halacha like our Sinai, said halacha k'Rav Yosi, the halacha like Rav Yosi. And we learned by wine and oil, Rav Yosi says you could seal it. As the Gemara asks, Eim Adam Rav Yosi b'chamra. He only said it by wine, b'shikr mi'amar, but he didn't say it by beer. Rav Yosi only permitted wine and oil, but we don't find anywhere Rav Yosi said beer, so how do you know he said you could do beer? So he said, 1 minute, Chamra time am I? What's the reason he permitted wine to seal Mishum the Nafish Pseida? Because it's a loss of money. Shiknanami is Pseida. Beer also will have a loss of money if you don't seal it. Why? The Amr Abaya said, Amrali Aim, my mother told me, and it will soon, I'll explain in a second, it wasn't his mother. Bashi Save Vishaya, it's better to have 6 saw barrel of beer sealed than 8 saw barreled unsealed. In other words, his mother said, if you have 6 ounces of beer sealed, is better than 8 ounces of beer unsealed. And not ounces, I mean, it was much larger amounts. What do you see from there? That sealed beer is much better than unsealed beer, and if you don't, if you have unsealed beer, it's going to ruin. So he says, listen, Rabbi Yosi was a logic. Why did Rabbi Yosi permit wine to seal? Because it can be a loss of money. So if beer is a loss of money, he permitted to seal beer also. Now, the story with Abaye is like this. Abaye's mother died when she gave birth to him. In fact, it says Abaye's father died before he was born. Abaye's mother died, and he was raised by his stepmother. Here in the bottom, he says a nursemaid who raised him, but it was actually his stepmother's brought down. And he called his stepmother Aim. He called her mother. So he says, Amr Le'er, my mother told me. So you see, interesting, Abaye paskin da'alocha from what his mother told him about beer.